Good morning, and thank you all for coming. And we will open up the notice meeting between Councilman on opioid. I guess it's the opioid abatement fund. And so I will start with introductions, and then I'll kind of give the purpose of the meeting. So, just for the sake of it, we'll start in the room. If you guys don't mind introducing yourselves.
Tiffany Pinkstaff, Office of General Counsel.
Ron Salem, Group 2 at Large City Council.
And Terrence Freeman at Large, Group 1. And the purpose of this meeting, and I think Chief Powers is out on a call, is I believe I did have some interactions with some of the advocates in the community regarding this, but had not heard anything from the administration, had not heard anything regarding this. And so I saw it going through committee. And heard some good dialogue, good debate, and had some questions. And rather than allow it to continue to move forward and me not be as comfortable with it, I preferred to defer it, which I did, so I can get a better understanding of some of the questions. And Chief Powers has since joined us as well of some of the questions. So I'll kind of open it up for Councilman Salem, because I know that this is something that's important to him, and see if I can get a better understanding.
Thank you, Mr. President. If I can just give a brief review, and we've got all the players in here. You appointed me your opioid czar when you last July when you started your term, and what I helped coordinate was a committee, and we set up a committee of JFRD, and it was Chief Powers and some of his colleagues. We had OGC involved with Tiffany Pinkstaff. We had the administration involved, and they had several people coming in and out of those meetings. And we had the Northeast Florida Planning Group that's represented here also participating as well. The finance department was very involved. And we met several times through the fall, trying to determine how we were going to move as these dollars began to come in. And found out through our research that every community in Florida that was getting this money was all looking at each other, no one really determining how they should do it. So we said we're going to move forward, and we're going to come up with a plan. And the plan basically is this, Mr. President. This bill, which is 840, really does four things. One, it appropriates $261,904 to hire two people, a manager of the program as well as a coordinator of the program. It sets up a trust fund for these dollars to as we receive these dollars from the state, for these dollars to go into this trust fund to be used at a later date. And we have, just in the last couple weeks, received our first check, a little over $1 million,
right,
that has come in from the state. Three, it sets up the interlocal agreements, because a small percentage of these dollars go to Baldwin and the three beach communities. So this bill allows us to push out the dollars directly to them for them to use as they want. And it sets up this manager and coordinator in JFRD, and it was determined through this working group that since they have been so involved in our very innovative Project Save Lives and have been at the forefront of the opioid crisis, that we would place these two people in JFRD. Now, what are those people going to do? Well, and if I can just go on just for a minute, that sets up the second bill that at least I think it helps for everyone to understand what the next bill will do once we get this one through the council. The discussion involves setting up a public service grant process to evaluate proposals from the community to award those dollars as we receive more money, and allow various organizations to apply to this group. And all that needs to be worked out in the next bill. And then the other part about the next bill will be how many people are on this committee, who appoints them, what are their credentials. All that stuff has not been really worked out. We wanted to get into that discussion once this first bill was approved. So those are I think that's the big picture. The present picture is $261,904 to hire these two people, set up the trust fund, interlocal agreements, and the decision to place these two people within JFRD. So that's an overview, Mr. President.
I like it. And I know this is important to you, so this is definitely something that I want to support and will be able to support it. Just had a few questions. In the first point, if you don't mind kind of each one starting again, what was the first one that you mentioned?
The first one was
to hiring the positions.
Hiring the 261,904 was to hire those two people.
So the first question I had with that was, and I guess this would be through Mr. Salem, to either Chief Powers or to auditors or whomever, is this a reoccurring, like this $200,000 in year one? Next year, would that be built into the budget coming out of a general fund, or would that be coming out of these opioid dollars that we're anticipating getting as we move forward?
Well, the dollars to pay these two people will come out of the opioid dollars. All expenses related to this program will come out of the opioid dollars. And just so you know, just to review, $85 million over 18 years, roughly, and supposedly around $9 million in the first year, and it progressively goes down slightly over the 18-year period.
Got it. And through Mr. Salem to or Mr. Salem, Vice President Salem, you can answer this as well. One of the other questions I ask is, and I know they work hand in hand with the city in this. I asked Chief Powers in our meeting when we look at the growth of JFRD, and it was just after one of our it was a finance committee meeting or one of the meetings I sat in, and they listed about 16 different stations that were opening up. I asked a question about capacity. And the workforce. We're continuously trying to recruit folks to come in. Would this add another burden to that labor piece? Like, are we confident that we're going to be able to fill those spots? So that was one of the things that I asked. And then I had someone from neighborhoods, and I asked the question of, have we done an audit of our staff in neighborhoods? Is everyone in neighborhoods? Have they reached capacity of what they do work-wise? And if so, then yes. If not, is there a way, or was there a conversation? We're in this space of transparency, right? So I wanted to ask these questions. Was there a way to have someone that is already being paid by the city that can work hand-in-hand with JFRD and facilitate the same process that we're trying to accomplish by creating two paid positions?
I can address it, and then I'll let Chief address it. One of the things we've learned through this process, Mr. President, is as we begin awarding these dollars, there are very, very specific requirements on the type of programs that can be funded, how the money is used, and once we fund an organization to ensure that they're using it appropriately and they don't get off the track of what we approved, or that money can be pulled back, and we would have to pay that money back to the state. So the thought was we wanted a couple of people not only to manage the grant process, set up the committee and stuff, but the coordinator would really be out in the field constantly making sure the grants that are awarded are being used effectively. Now, I'll let Chief Powers address manpower and whether there are other people that could do this.
And we'll add to it a caveat, and the administration they have representation here as well. We're going to have a bill coming before us on Tuesday that is going to restructure or reorg our city. And I would love to ask Ms. Zimmerman. Did I get it right, Zimmerman? All right. I was thinking Lockhart. I'm like, oh, no, did I mess it up? But Ms. Zimmerman, her thoughts on in the direction that we're trying to go on Tuesday, and I'm very confident it's a great idea and it's something that will move forward. And the bill, has it been filed? Well, it's going to go on addendum. I'm trying to say I don't want to get ahead of myself and talk, but is it all right for me to kind of give an overview of what that bill will be coming up Tuesday? Because I think that plays into this conversation very strongly. Yeah. Yeah, I guess where I was going with it, since you said it, was just more along the lines of, and that is one path. And I'll just say it: we're gonna be starting a grants division within our city. We're going to have a very capable individual leading that is very familiar with grants. The administration is very confident in her ability, PhD, in that area. And I think that in the end, when a new administration comes in, they're going to say that this is something that person is going to oversee. It would be redundant if not, right? You create a division of someone that's going to be shifting from one organization within the city to another. So I don't know if you've been kind of updated on that as well. But I guess my train of thought was I definitely think there's a need for coordinator. I definitely think I see the need of having someone on the streets. I think of Mark and a lot of the anecdotal stories he would give. And now thinking of having someone that is out there with the grants, with the folks. I mean, that's kind of the world I live in. I understand the need for it. I'm not quite sure I understood the full need of two full ones in JFRD if I'm thinking of if I could get two rescue or if I could get – I don't know all your titles over there. But I know it's different pots of money. But as I shared with you in the beginning of our conversation, when the community looks at it and they look at the dollars we give, and I will hit that green button every time for you guys, for all first responders, they lump it all together. And so,
Mr. President, Keith Powers, Fire Rescue.
Yeah.
Mr. President, just to be clear, these are not going to be uniform firefighter positions. These are going to be civilian positions. Yeah, they're civil service positions. They will not be uniform firefighters. The intent is to get people that specialize. I have the job descriptions that were written by Employee Services, and they are very specific in what these two individuals will be doing. Obviously, we know that there's a huge need in our community right now for this opioid abatement, and we need people that are out there beating the street. One of these, the leader of this, which would be the technically the chief administrative officer over this commission, is got some responsibilities beyond just handling the grants and all that stuff. They've got the responsibility to get out there and make sure we're getting it to the appropriate groups that need this, mm-hmm. Being a liaison to those different groups and to the mayor's office and to the city council to make sure all that's coordinated. And all the other partners, there's a lot of other partners that are going to be involved in this, but make sure all those partners are working together and making sure they mesh. The other position, the coordinator's position, is really the boots on the ground, the person that's out there, you know, whether it's delivering Narcan or whatever that piece of it is. We have a part-time position that's doing that now, mm-hmm. Related to Project Saves Lives, and that really is a full-time position for her. She is just constantly out there handling the boots on the ground stuff in the street. So that's why there's two positions.
Okay.
But they will be civil service positions, not uniform firefighters.
No, perfect. And I'm fully in favor of this. Okay. And I just think that in this era that we're in, and especially my year, I've really made it an effort, a concerted effort, to ask questions in a public setting so that then when questions come from constituents, when questions come from activist groups, I can stand boldly and confidently in front of them and articulate how we got to this position. Knowing how important this was for you, I wanted to be able to defend this at any point because this is the beginning. This is the tip of the iceberg, and I'm not the only one aware of it. So I definitely want to get through that piece of it. It doesn't seem like this is going to create any more stress, undue stress on the department. I'm all about accountability, oversight, and management. So that's the first part. What was your next point? Because I want to land on one other point, and then I'm done, and I'll open up for public comment.
Setting up the trust fund.
I'm good on that.
Okay.
Yep.
The interlocal agreements.
I'm good on that, but I did have one question with that, right? Interlocal agreements, and this is my ignorance coming out. When we send a percentage to them, is it their responsibility then to take that percentage and do the same thing we're doing as an overall city, creating positions? Or do we own the responsibilities of providing these services from these two positions to the
Tiffany Pink, Staff Office of General Counsel. Mr. President, it's my understanding that they will be responsible for making sure that those funds are used in accordance with the Memorandum of Understanding, which they've signed on to with the AG's office. Of course, for abatement, as they were discussing, you know, treatment prevention, there's very limited purposes that these funds can be used for. But we will likely put into place some sort of a checks and balances system through the manager and the coordinators to make sure that the municipalities are also using the funds appropriately.
Got it. And then the last thing was the future committee members and things of that nature. And it was important to me that we do a little better job of communicating that with the rest of the council. When we have those conversations, the biggest issue that we find ourselves running into are when we get those questions like Councilmember Pittman of, well, will my district have representation? And those types of questions, I would love to be on the front end of it so that when we're in front of the city and we are leading forward, moving forward with great ideas, and I think something that is needed, especially when you just saw what happened with the fentanyl, the how much is $15 million, I think, was just called recently. I mean, there's nobody that's going to say that this is not where we need to be focusing. So,
Mr. President, it's important to me when we look at this committee that these are experts in the field. I mean, these are people, could be physicians that are working in ERs that see these people. We want to make, in my mind, we want to make sure the studies or the programs that we fund are well designed and are clearly ones that will have an impact in our community. So I don't see members of this public service grant program as being lay people, so to speak. I mean, these might be physicians, they might be pharmacists, they may be nurses. Because we want to make sure we are having an impact in the community and they're well-designed, and this coordinator makes sure that they're followed through correctly. That's what would be important to me. Now, who appoints them, how we get them, I think that's part of the discussion that we'll have in the next bill.
Yes, sir, and thank you.
Can you do that?
Yeah, because I think we're saying the same thing. When you talk about who appoints them, that is where I'm going with having council members being engaged and a part of this conversation. If you look at the access to health care, the affordable housing, when you looked across that room, you saw a diverse group of people in that room. And so,
Mr. President, I just got off the phone with the mayor's office before I walked in here. And to be clear, the reason that the commission seats are left out of this first piece of legislation is because they want to actively have conversation with the city council and themselves and determine the best way going forward in the second bill of how those commission seats, who appoints them, where they come from. But they are more than willing to sit down with you and have that conversation on how those seats are established and who established them. But it was intentionally left out of this bill that's currently sitting here waiting to go into the second bill once those conversations have happened.
That makes complete sense, and that's another reason I had a group reach out to me this morning asking, you know, what the notice meeting was for, and I was saying because I'm trying to learn about the bill. I saw it when it was in committee already and was getting briefed after the fact, and so that is very important to know and be able to communicate and to share. And then the last thing for me, and then I'll turn it over to public comment or let you have a close last word, was through the chair to Ms.
Pink Staff.
Can you spell that for me?
P-I-N-K-S-T-A-F-F.
I got it now. Pink. I got it now. Ms. Pink Staff was, when we're looking at future uses of these dollars, when we first had this discussion of the lawsuit and or the class action suit, whatever, same thing. I was on the opioid committee and I'd asked a question about what other uses could be for those dollars. Another reason I was a little caught off guard by monies being spent on this was because I had some ideas as well of some things, and I was informed that you would be the person to talk to of these usages. One of the ideas that was asked of me is, would these dollars be suffice to be used in creating a one-stop place when someone is in a moment of crisis, where you have the wraparound services in-house, and a lot of these services and people that he's talking about probably lead these organizations, and located within the city building, could these dollars go to also funding something like that?
If it's related to the opioid abuse disorder, and it's, you know, prevention, education, and treatment, which it sounds like
it is,
it would be, then I would think it would fall within the memorandum of understanding of uses.
And so that was one thing that I wanted to have added to this conversation, because that's something that was important to me. And so that was another reason why I was a little kind of like, whoa, this cart's left the barn. I mean, whatever the term is, and something that I think will be equally as beneficial as what was brought before us today. I mean, you have folks out that are intervening, well, preventing, I should say, and then intervening in cases where someone is overdosed or something. This is a place that this is a person suicidal in crises, and they need a safe space to go to. And then they need these services that your groups are looking to do and provide. And I think that that's something that I don't know I haven't done all the research of other cities in our state, but I know from the folks that I've been talking to that are huge advocates for this, and that would raise monies as well to add to the process. This is something from their research that would be a huge value to our city.
Mr. President, yeah. Let me address that, because that has come up. First of all, we all here know the Sunshine Law. You and I could not talk about this, and all the meetings that we had, I was the only council member there, because that's the process we have to use. So I'm glad we're having this.
No, we could have a notice meeting.
Yes.
And that's what we're having now.
Yeah.
So I just want to make sure before we go too far and it's being recorded, that in this process, as things were moving, and it's not on you at all, and it's not on the administration. It's just sometimes these things happen.
Right.
And the way you overcome those things happening is you have conversations. And so we're coming to it now. And if anybody's receiving, you know, my questioning as, you know, pushback, then shame on them. I want to make sure that I'm putting some things else out there in the atmosphere, and leading on those, just like this is being led on, because there's going to be many more ideas that are going to come behind us.
But the point, let me make the second point. If someone is homeless and their homelessness is not related to opioids, you can't use these dollars. But so that is the central core to these dollars, and that's why the monitoring of these dollars is so important. We can help homeless people as long as there is an addiction problem associated with their homelessness. Then you can. So
through the vice president, Ms. Pinckney, though, that's a great question, and that was one that I asked. And what they said is, when you're looking at mental health illness, a lot of folks, when they're in a mental health crisis, they self-medicate. And when they self-medicate, they're self-medicating with fentanyl, drugs that are laced with fentanyl. I mean, they tied everything together. And that's why I wanted to be a part of this conversation. And that's why I wanted to have them a part of the overall conversation, because it does creep into homelessness. It does. And it's a way to tie all of this together, where you have $85 million coming from that. You have the council doing a great work this year on it. And it kind of will flow into the next year's agenda. Which is why I want to support this, because I think that this is where you want to go with your focus. And I want to make sure that, they always say leave it better than you found it. I want to make sure I'm setting things up so that you can have the success, because if you're successful, the city's successful. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but you're going to have my support.
Right.
And so I want to make sure. But I think if there's a way to link and to bridge, especially in the area of one of my agenda items, which was homelessness, this is a home run. And so, you know, when this thought process was created, this is what brought us to this point here. And I think that these two positions are a tip of the sword, but I do think that there's a way to land on, and I don't think it would be a lot of money. And if I don't want to disclose where the location is right now, I think I have to someone in the administration, but it will be turnkey. And it's already a city building with locks, so homeless people couldn't just walk in and out, monitored, central location for busing. It would just be more of, can organizations like maybe a Project Opioid or any other groups, would they be able to have someone housed there during certain working hours and things of that nature? But so that was the last thing that I wanted to put out. So in this second piece of legislation, and I would like for that conversation to kind of be ahead of the rest of the conversations that are coming, just like this was or is ahead of them. And so I don't know how we go about doing that. because this is only appropriating $200,000 for that, and then we're going to have that special committee that hopefully my colleagues get to play a role in, you know, kind of figuring out how many members, like the makeup of it, the charge of it. But I think that thinking of a mental health crisis center, utilizing these dollars. Go ahead, Ms. Pinkney, staff. I'm sorry.
Mr. President, what I was just going to say is that because we're in the beginning stages of this, there are challenges in determining exactly how that money can be used. You might have a program, to Councilman Salem's point, that deals with mental health, and a piece of that is opioid-related, and another piece of it is alcohol-related, or whatever the case may be. We are going to need to work closely with the AG's office and run things by them ahead of time and say, hey, do you think that this is okay? And they're prepared for that. So it'll be a bit of a process. It'll require some legwork on the front end, but it's definitely things that we can approach them with.
Well, thank you so much. And so I don't know if you captured some of the thoughts about it, and I don't have much more than that. I can put you in contact with the folks who brought it to my attention, but if that helps later.
Sure.
So, one, thank you all for being patient with me on it. I think this is a great idea. I think this is what our city needs and every city needs. And I want to thank Council Vice President Salem for your leadership on this and your knowledge and your passion in this area. And I look forward to continue to support, you know, efforts in this. So if anyone else at the dais or the table have any comments.
I'll just close with saying this. I want to thank you personally for appointing Council Vice President Salem to it, because he truly does have a passion for this. And that was a great appointment. This crisis has personally affected me with two close family members that are now no longer with us because of this. So I have a passion for it as well. And to have somebody that's as passionate as he is, I just thank you for putting him there to help make this process. This is really going to help this community, what y'all are doing. So thank you for that.
No, thank you. You almost made me cry, man. I haven't cried all week. So I thought you were good.
Cry just means you care.
Yeah, man, I get it. And I, too, have definitely experienced the loss of loved ones and mentees in this path. And so anything we can do, and then I have a bunch of little ones coming up in this world. So anything we can do to make this place a better place for them and everyone else, the better it is. We're going to open the floor for any public comment. Going once. Seeing none. Ms. Rachel or anyone in administration, anything? This meeting is adjourned.
Oh, no, my pleasure. It was a good discussion. Too much money. I think they're going to go with the one of the young kids, and hopefully he grows into.